You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Nearly a year ago, our nation hoped it was ending a dark chapter in our history.
I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
Our terrorism against America is a good terrorism.
Osama is the key. We got the guy, and that's it. Nothing more after this. Osama is dead. We are done with the war on terrorism.
When will the United States pull out of Afghanistan?
Osama bin Laden is just one person. He is representative of networks of people.
Al-Qaeda is not finished. Our war against terrorism must continue.
USA! USA! USA!
Osama bin Laden founded Al-Qaeda more than 20 years ago, and he turned the group into the most widely influential militant Islamist organization in the world. After 9/11, it became to many the most visible face of Islamist terrorism. Osama bin Laden was often the poster boy. Even after a unified Al-Qaeda began to give way to smaller splinter groups, many wondered in the immediate aftermath of bin Laden's death how Al-Qaeda could possibly persevere. So it's been a year. Now Ayman al-Zawahiri is in charge, and we're going to take a look at the past and future of Al-Qaeda with Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
You know, I wonder your response to some of the language coming from people who say that Osama bin Laden's death pretty much finished Al-Qaeda, that the organization is never again going to be what it was and is no longer capable of major, large-scale operations.
You know, it's always hard to make predictions, especially about the future. But I think that that's an exaggeration, but it has a significant degree of truth. The basic fact is that a campaign of sort of relentless counterterrorism and drone strikes based on a lot of good intelligence and a lot of international cooperation has put Al-Qaeda really on the defensive, has decapitated it literally by killing Osama bin Laden, and put it under, especially the core group hiding out in Pakistan and on the Afghan-Pakistan border, really on the ropes. But that doesn't mean that it's completely eliminated, and there's worrying progress, you might say, for them on their franchise operations, on the affiliates in places like Iraq and Saudi Arabia and the Maghreb. So there's still a threat, and it's still a danger. We can't just walk away from the post-9/11 security regime and say it's all done now. But we're certainly going in the right direction, and we're certainly, I think, better off than we were a year ago.
Although the smaller splinter groups, and especially you mentioned the splinter group down in Yemen, which has taken over a large part of southern Yemen while the army is distracted with some of the ongoing protests and violence there, could it simply be that the center of power for Al-Qaeda has shifted, has moved?
Well, it's not the center of power has shifted, because it's not that you had a strong group in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and then they've sort of just gone someplace else. What it really is the head and the heart have been largely, if not killed, then hurt and contained. And some of the limbs are operating somewhat independently. At this point, Al-Qaeda is a network, at least as much as a hierarchical organization, and different local components, people essentially who agree with some of the broader ideas but also have their own local concerns, their own local organizations, are still in the game. That, on the one hand, makes it more difficult to eliminate the threat because it's got lots of little parts now in lots of different places. But I don't think that it's as serious as the main one, because the fact is those local operations are not as serious, and more importantly, they're not as passionately obsessed with attacking the United States in its homeland as the core group was. These are local groups with local concerns, which are still a problem, but not the same kind of problem for us that that Osama bin Laden himself posed.
We're speaking with Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs, almost a year since Osama bin Laden was killed in that raid in Pakistan. I wonder if this justifies the strategy, the anti-terrorism strategy, the war on terrorism that's been going on now for more than a decade. Does this mean that the more than $1 trillion we spent on wars in Iraq and Afghanistan was well spent?
You know, it's a very good question. And I think the way I would answer that is by saying there are always sort of two visions or two possibilities in ways you could take the war on terror. After 9/11, after the fall of the World Trade Center, the attack on the Pentagon and so forth, it was clear that you were going to go after terrorism and particularly go after al-Qaeda in a vastly more aggressive way than you had before. But that said, there were still two different approaches. You could have, in effect, said, we're going to go after terrorists and these particular terrorists who did this to us, and had a very aggressive campaign against al-Qaeda, against other radical Islamist groups, and zero in on the people who did the attacks or who were directly related to them. And I think anybody would have done that, and I hear, and that is the part that I think has succeeded. But the Bush administration did that plus something else. They also expanded the idea of the danger and the reactions against it to include a much broader set of operations, including Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11 and nothing to do with al-Qaeda, and a variety of other policies. So I think that this is a victory for what you might call the limited war on terror, which has persisted for a decade now and a lot of hard work over a lot of places by a lot of people. But it doesn't justify the larger framed war of terror that includes the Iraq war, includes torture, that includes some of the excesses of the what I would consider the excesses of the Bush administration and so forth.
Well, you know, another thing that's changed since the death of Osama bin Laden is the widespread nature of the Arab Spring. I wonder if perhaps some of these victories against al-Qaeda or other terrorism networks have nothing to do with U.S. policy.
Well, it's not that they have nothing to do with U.S. policy, because I think U.S. policy has been crucial to them. But there's no question that the general picture in the Middle East with the Arab Spring has changed dramatically. I mean, let's go back to what Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda were trying to do originally. They were trying to establish Islamist regimes, radical Islamist regimes, in the Muslim world. And they hated the, frankly, American-backed dictators who were maintaining order there. And they were trying to get at those regimes first directly, and then when that didn't work, by attacking their big backer, i.e. us, indirectly. And what the Arab Spring has shown is that you can go after the dictators in the Middle East more successfully by peaceful demonstrations, by Tahrir Square, by ordinary people going out into the streets and protesting, and that, in fact, the United States will actually be on your side if you do that. And this has basically given the people of the region a sense, I think, that you don't have to go the terrorist, horrible al-Qaeda route, and so therefore it sort of made them obsolete and discredited, even though in the chaos that follows the fall of some of these regimes, al-Qaeda might have some new opportunities to make mischief.
All right, so perhaps the most important question is, at this point, a year since Osama bin Laden died, is al-Qaeda no longer capable of pulling off an attack like 9/11?
You know, it's always hard to gauge the probabilities. We still don't know. If you were to say, what was the probability that the 9/11 attack would occur, the probability beforehand, we don't really know. Something could have gone wrong. It happened, but you know, someday everybody wins the lottery. That doesn't mean it's likely that if you bet, you'll win the lottery too. I think that these days it is much less likely that anything like 9/11 will happen, not least because we are all aware of it, and simply, for example, because people on the plane won't allow their plane to be taken over. They would crash it then before letting it be flown into a building again. But basically, we are much safer. The problem is we've paid a very large cost for that safety. And the question going forward is, how much additional safety do we want to buy? Air travel is now more difficult. Lots of other aspects of life have more friction in them. And so we want to be safe, but we've paid a cost for getting that safety in our lives. And that's the real question. How much more insurance do we want to take out?
Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs, talking about nearly a year now since Osama bin Laden was killed in that raid in Pakistan. Gideon, thank you so much.
Thank you.